one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and a monumental historic occasion is happening right now in my household. I, for the first time in, let's count it out, about 3 years, I am recording the podcast in an empty house. Usually I'm closing doors. I'm making sure Morty's taken care of. I got Pearl screaming in another room and I'm trying to ignore it. She's with someone. She's not alone. I would never leave my baby alone. But today, this is the first Monday that she is enrolled in school. And I am recording the podcast in the silence of my home until Morty is like, take me out, take me out, take me out. And I will pause. But this is huge. This is huge. This is like, I feel like I've been recording this podcast while doing it, and now I am essentially mentally on a lounger at a luxury beach resort, and I cannot wait. To the point that I recorded half this podcast already, and I just parked in the garage. I live in LA, in my driveway. I parked and was like, we're redoing it. Because we're coming in with a different energy today. And I don't like to talk about Pearl a lot on the podcast because I know, like, listening to a parent talk about their child is so boring if you don't have kids. But it is very exciting that now that she grew up, I have time in my own house. I can record. I can be free. I can be as loud as I want. Even though I have heard that some people don't like the hello being so loud. So I've been trying to tone it down just to appease people. If other people want it loud, I will maybe dial it back up. I just want people to be happy and not be startled by the sound of my voice when they listen to this in the morning. Anyway, this week we are having a mishmash episode. We haven't done one of these in a very, very long time. But essentially, I wanted to talk about some life stuff. Some, like, what I'm watching, what I'm listening to, but I didn't have enough for an episode of that. I wanted to talk about Halloween Horror Nights in Hollywood, which I went to last week, but I didn't have enough for an episode of that. And I may even try, if there is time, there may not be, but I may try to squeeze in a few extra churros calls because we don't have enough for another churros episode, but we got so many in the past 3 weeks that I want to make sure I at least get some of them out there and they don't languish in my inbox. Or I guess my recorder? What would you call it? Oh my God. Oh, so much time has passed. I forgot answering machine. Ooh, that was bad. Ooh. Oh, I forgot answering machine. Wow. The memories of the past are slipping away from me. Anyway, that is what is happening this week. I hope you enjoy. It's just going to be a chit chat about a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm genuinely so excited to record. Ah! Okay. Stick around. We will be right back with so much mishmash fun. Okay, bye.
Carly, we're back.
I love it. You're like a little fairy that floats in and is like, would you like to save money on your vacation?
And of course, the answer is yes. They're just hitting us one after another after another. And during some of these peak times where people usually travel, like around the holidays, because of course, we know how magical it is to be at any Disney property or on any Disney cruise when it is decorated for the holidays. There are three right off the bat that I need to tell you about. And one of them we've already known, which is DCL, and this incredible 50% off the third and fourth guests on select sailings. I have not seen an offer like that probably in 10 or 12 years. So if you can go, it's the time to grab it. So this is valid on the Magic, Wonder, Dream, Fantasy, and Wish for select sailings between October 3rd and March 30th of 2026. That has to be booked by October 12th to be valid, unless they push it out, but we're just not sure. But I have a feeling that they're going to put an end to that one on October 12th because it is such a great deal.
Becky, that's incredible.
That's just one. That is just one. So we have Disney World is totally focused on their holidays as well. So you can still save up to 20% if you go from October 12th to November 20th or November 23rd to December 25th. So right at the tail end of Halloween, and then you've got that magical turnover where one day it's Halloween and the next day it's Christmas. It's right during that time period. And they're still giving the promo card away too for those packages. So $100 for deluxe or the villa resort, $75 for a moderate resort, or $50 for a value resort.
It's like you book a trip and you get your own holiday gift.
Yeah, exactly. But Disneyland still has their 20% off for travel for select dates through December 20th. So again, if you want to experience the holidays around Disneyland, just book by 12/16 travel by December 20th, and you can save 20%.
I can't believe we have holiday discounts. Experiencing these parks and not sweating through my clothes is always a gift. Thank you so much. I can't wait for your next discount drop at the end of the episode because you have some real good stuff coming for Alani and ABD.
Yeah, there's some new stuff for sure. See you in a minute.
Welcome back. Now, this week, we are going to discuss Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood. I'm going to get into it in more detail than I did online after I went to the event last week. I'm going to give you some tips for if you want to go and kind of really break down what it is about this event that like makes it is some theme park people's number one event, while also so different from the way we usually visit the parks. I kind of want to explore what that is. And if you have been on the fence about it and a little curious, maybe give you enough information and detail to decide if this is something you want to try or if it's absolutely never going to happen for you. But before we get into that, we got to be talking about something that is very pressing in my mind lately, and it's the current show that I am obsessed with, because if you know me, your girl loves to hyperfixate on a show that there are 6 seasons available of online. You've seen me do it for Bones, you've seen me do it for Castle, you've seen me do it for Superstore, you've seen me do it for The Big Bang Theory, and right now I'm obsessed with Buffy. I don't know how it took me so long, but it did. I really genuinely think the push, because for a minute there, people were like, you gotta start Buffy. I went to dinner with my friend Jeffrey, and the waiter, there's this restaurant, Merrick's in West Hollywood, that is Jeffrey's favorite restaurant, and it is the most happening place in my entire neighborhood. I keep telling Jeffrey this every time we go. Also, Jeffrey's like becoming a mascot of this podcast. I'm so, so sorry, Jeffrey. But we went out to this restaurant, and every time I go, I'm like, this is the West Hollywood I was promised when I moved here about 6 years ago. It is just lively, and people are out, and everyone's running into friends. It's just like, there's so much guacamole. Like, it's just great. I don't know if the guacamole is part of it, but I do love the guacamole there. Anyway, the very, very kind waiter is obsessed with Buffy and told me, like, just get through the first season, and then you are off to the races. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try. And so I watched the first season, and then after the first season, I was absolutely hooked. I now am digesting about 3 to 4 episodes a night. I am on season 4, and my friend Drew Taylor, some of you might be familiar with from Disney stuff, Drew is like a huge Buffy head. And Drew told me that Angel aired at the same time as Buffy. Season 1 Angel aired at the same time as season 4 Buffy. And so now that I know that, I'm going back and I'm watching them like the way they used to air on UPN or CW or whatever the station used to be. And it's like fun. It just feels like a little nostalgic. It feels a little nostalgic, which is the reason why I enjoyed certain experiences of Halloween Horror Nights this week, which I will be getting into shortly. But if you have never watched Buffy or Angel, I highly recommend it. I didn't think this was going to be a show I was into, but I'm going to be very, very honest with you. They mention it on The Big Bang Theory a couple times, and I'm like, well, if my boys on The Big Bang Theory are into it, maybe I should watch it. And it was this for Star Trek, and I watched Buffy, and it was great. In terms of other things, I watched the new Naked Gun movie. If you haven't seen it, it is I was told it was all jokes, and it was not a lie. It is definitely a certain type of comedy. That's historically what that film, the Naked Gun film, is. It's really good. It's really good. Pamela Anderson is a revelation in it. I really enjoyed it. And it was directed by Yorma Taccone, who's one of the 3 Lonely Island guys. I will stan them for anything they do. Popstar is a perfect movie. We don't talk about it enough. I feel like it ended up in this like comedy graveyard along with Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. And it's, if you're familiar with those movies, you know how good they are. And if you aren't, it's just like, oh, did those not do well? But truly, they are such brilliant movies. If you haven't seen either of those, they are so funny. Please watch them. I hadn't seen Popstar until the pandemic, and I got so obsessed with it that I bought the sweatshirt. They like had a merch store. I like bought the sweatshirt and wore it for a year straight. I love it. I mean, it got glitter all over everything, but it was still a divine sweatshirt. It was divine. Watch Popstar. It's so good. I don't watch scary things. We're talking about HHN. You'll find that out shortly. I don't watch scary things. I don't watch a lot of documentaries. I don't like heavy programming. So I haven't seen the Catfish thing that everyone's talking about or other spooky scaries that people are talking about. But I do recommend a show that there are many, many seasons of. I will warn you, though, if you're watching Buffy, the quality on Hulu is so low. It is very dark and hard to see, but I'm powering through anyway. The other thing that I am about to dive headfirst into is The Paper. Okay, so like word on the street in LA, I'm going to be frank. LA is like an industry town. So word on the street was like, oh no, they dropped all the episodes at once. That's a bad sign. So when it debuted last week, I was like, oh no, it might not be good. Then I saw that it got immediately renewed for season two, which is a huge sign that it's going to be successful. It got renewed the day before it went up, which is huge. I guess the reviews must have been really good. And then people keep saying it's really good. So I started watching it. I'm about two episodes in. And I have to tell you something, friend to friend, very amusing to very amusing. I gotta tell you, I'm having an issue with it. Okay. The show is good. I think it's good. I like the premise. I like the characters. But my issue is that Domhnall Gleeson, I think that's how you say his name, the lead character of it. If you know, you know. This is a dude that is featured inside Star Wars Rise of the Resistance at Disneyland and Disney World. And my problem is because I've seen this dude in the brig. I've seen this dude in a theme park ride being spooky scary. I can't accept him as a kind-hearted, warm, nice lead character. I can't. I see him and I go, that dude's evil. That dude's evil. Even though there is like, he's been in so many other projects, so many other things. This dude is cemented in my brain as being in Rise of the Resistance. And because of that, I'm like, you work for Kylo Ren. Like, you can't be running a paper gleefully in Ohio or wherever it is. Like, you're in Rise of the Resistance and I'm terrified of you. And it's kind of bugging me out. I'm having a really hard time because actors play different roles all the time. It's not a big deal if they go like a dark character and then a light character and a comedy and then a drama. But for some reason, this dude being in Rise of the Resistance, I can't do it. It's been really hard to just enjoy him as is. I just keep seeing him looking at me and kind of scouring. I just keep seeing it. I keep seeing those scenes in my head and I can't get it out. Also, I know this dude is Bill Weasley in Escape from Gringotts at Universal Studios Florida. I know that. And yet, I just can't see past him being, what's the character, General Hux? I can't see past him being Kylo Ren's right-hand dude standing next to him in multiple scenes of the attraction. It is burned into my brain and I'm having a really hard time viewing him as an actor because of it. He just, you know, I just see him and go, ha, dark side. I can't help it. I can't help it, but I do. Anyway, I am about 75% sure I spoke on last week's podcast about going to see a Goofy movie at El Capitan, which was awesome, by the way. I went to El Capitan a few times. El Capitan is the Disney-owned movie theater right in the middle of Hollywood in Los Angeles. It's a place, if you live in LA, you really try not to go to. It's very Times Square, New York, but like even more so because Times Square, New York is where if you go to a Broadway show, you got to go near Times Square. Here, we just try to avoid it at all costs, even though sometimes driving around it is like a really quick way to get to Universal Studios. Anyway, I went to go see a Goofy movie because there was an anniversary and they were screening it. We got to see Goofy there, which was fun. And I had such a blast that I ended up booking tickets for Toy Story, which is coming back to theaters. I think it's the 25th anniversary, something like that. I bought tickets to that. And I think Woody and Buzz might be there. But I have been to the El Capitan because they do a Nightmare Before Christmas screening with like live music and projections and like other little doodads. They do that kind of every year, at least when they were open, pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. And when I've gone, I've sat in the balcony and been like, oh, these seats are too small. Like, it's just an old theater. The seats are too small. I didn't like it. But this time I sat on the floor. It was wide open. Nobody was seeing a movie at 4 o'clock on a weekday, I'll tell you that. And it was bliss. Also, fantastic popcorn. These days, I'm going to say it. AMC popcorn is like eating a bag of rocks. It is not good. I've been powering through, trying my best to douse it in that butter goo, being like, maybe this will help. But I know good popcorn. I've been to Disneyland. Theme park popcorn is so good at the Disney parks. And El Capitan is not theme park popcorn, but it is better. It is better than what you will find traditionally at other theaters. RIP Arclight, the old best popcorn that we had in LA. It was a legendary Los Angeles theater. You were almost guaranteed to see a famous person in the lobby when you were going to and from a movie. Everyone's got a story. It's excellent. And we're all very, very sad it's not back yet. I don't know why it's not back. I don't know why venture capitalists have jobs all day and are buying up companies left and right, but still haven't figured out how to bring the theater with the good popcorn back. They had real butter. Yeah, it wasn't like butter goo. It was real butter. And they also, years ago, this is like 10 years ago, they had sunflower popcorn, like popcorn popped in sunflower oil, which If you have a dairy allergy or a dairy intolerance, do you know how cool that is? That they have that? Anyway, we're not gonna pop off about popcorn, even though I always want to. We are going to talk about Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood. I went on opening night, which meant that when I checked in, like the media check-in area was at the red carpet. And it just really set the tone of the fact that I have no idea what's going on here. I am a theme park quote-unquote expert. Debatable. But undebatable, not debatable, is that I professionally yap and report about theme parks. And yet, there are 2 months out of every year, two-ish months, where I have no idea what's going on. This is not my scene. And I'm sure there are many of you who feel the same way. We're like, you know Disney parks inside and out. You like know everything about Universal coasters. And then when it comes to Halloween Horror Nights, you're like, what are these movies? Who are these characters? And to be standing in a theme park that I go to all the time in City Walk, where I am regularly, and to look at a red carpet and go, I don't know who any of these people are. And they were all stars of these movies. I didn't know a single person. It is such a bizarre out-of-body experience to be like, I thought I do this professionally, but I guess I just don't know a lot. Now, as you know, as I have shared on the internet, I was very, very nervous for this. I was very nervous. I have not been to Halloween Horror Nights in, I want to say, about 4 years. I think the last time I went, I was probably pregnant. I went with a few friends. I went with my friends Amon and Steph and John, and I think I was pregnant, because I'm pretty sure every year I reevaluate, am I feeling brave? And the past 2 years, I was like, I have a young child. A night off for me should not consist of being yelled at and being scared, because that's postpartum life. I did not need that at a theme park. But this year, I don't know what happened, but there was a window of time where I just woke up one day and went, I'm ready. I've been summoned. I was like, I can do this. I can do this this year. And so I emailed because my PR person always sends out press releases. We're friendly. I'm not a total freak. I'm a freak, but still. My PR contact at Universal Studios Hollywood sends out, you know, press releases, food announcements, stuff like that. And I always write back and go, no, scary season. Like every time I write back a joke email, which I hope she thinks is charming and probably thinks is a little irritating, but we're friends. It's fine. It's fine. I always like send little jokes back to be like, how is this happening? It's summer. How is it happening again? And I wrote her, a few weeks ago and was like, hey, I think I'm feeling brave. I think I can do it this year. And she goes, you told me that it was your husband's birthday and you couldn't go. And I was like, either I got confused and that was a mistake of mine, or I lied for self-preservation so that I didn't have to go. My husband's birthday was 2 days before. Pearl went to school the day before. I just made up this laundry list of excuses like, oh, I just can't that week. I might be out of town and a birthday and a school. I made up so many lies in my own head and then sent them in an email to a professional person. And then I had to take them back and be like, sorry, I was scared. I will be there. Thank you very much. So I went with, of course, our very amusing mascot, Jeffrey. Jeffrey and I went together. We are not really, I speak for us both when I say we are not Halloween Horror Nights people, but we did find a way to make it our own and have fun. And for that, I am very, very glad. We began the night at Antojitos, which is my go-to Universal City Walk spot, even though there is a lot of dining coming. And I don't really like to talk about rumors. I don't really like to talk about things that are not confirmed, especially for Universal parks. But if you spend any time on the internet and your algorithm knows that you like theme parks, you probably saw something drop last week, which was what looks to be a possible potential layout plan of what the future of Universal Studios Hollywood and City Walk could be. That's kind of all I can say about that. But I love Antojitos, and I'm very excited for the new things that may be coming. I don't want to get deep. I don't like to talk about rumors, but there are a lot of confirmed new places for City Walk. They're gonna have a Raising Cane's. They're gonna have this like pizza guy who I guess is really well known. They're gonna have a lot of new dining. And it's going to be really exciting because I went to Antojitos out of strife because there was nowhere else I wanted to eat. And now there's going to be a lot of new options, which frankly, I'm quite excited for. Okay, my journalist brain is nagging at me and wants to give you the proper names of everything that is coming to City Walk. There's this place called Slice House, which is apparently going to have, I think, different types of slices of pizza. Sounds good. Obviously, Raising Cane's. Halal Guys is coming. Insomnia Cookies is also coming, which I'm very curious about because that's a delivery-based business for late night cookies. And if I was a delivery driver, picking up a city walk would be the worst option for me. Like, that is not gonna be good. And then I think there's a Korean barbecue place coming too, but I don't know if they've announced the name of it. One moment. Oh yeah, Mr. Barbecue. Well, how did I forget Mr. Barbecue? It's based in Fullerton. Great to have a kind of local business there. Very, very exciting. Anyway, went to Antojitos, had a pre-Halloween Horror Nights margarita. It is my, I guess, a tradition at this point that I hit there before I go to the parks. And as you know, I don't really go out a lot. I don't drink a lot of little thingies. But on a night like Halloween Horror Nights, listen, your girl needs a little extra something to get through. I get scared when toast pops out of the toaster. I get scared when I am in a car and someone else goes over a speed bump more than 10 miles per hour. I just get a little scared all the time. And so for me, I just needed a little something, which is not something I typically do, but I just needed a little something to get through the day. And by the way, the margarita was delicious. Highly recommend Antojitos. The food is, the food was better originally. It's still kind of okay. They changed the taco salad. I'm upset about it. But I had some guacamole. I had some salsa. We had a lovely bartender who went to Halloween Horror Nights for a preview, I believe, and gave us a bunch of info, kind of calmed me down, got me ready, was very appreciated. I was too nervous to eat at home. I was that nervous. I was that nervous for Halloween Horror Nights, and I got through. And so Jeffrey and I just had like guacamole and chips and tortillas, and it was great. I did try to milk everything I could out of our little makeshift happy hour because I was too scared to go in. So we ended up going into the event like an hour after it started, which was fine because we were not there to accomplish everything. We were truly just there to survive. My priority for the night was Five Nights at Freddy's, which if you are a theme park person, I do think this also needs to be at the top of your list. It is not the thing that all horror people are probably clamoring after. That is more Terrifier, which, oh, we're going to discuss that. At Five Nights at Freddy's, essentially, and this, I said this in an Instagram comment and then it hit me and I was like, wow, that is accurate. Five Nights at Freddy's is the closest that you can get to Muppet Vision 3D at the moment in a theme park. If you are a Muppet person, if you're listening to this, you probably are, this is the closest you can get to Muppets in the park at the moment. Because Five Nights at Freddy's, the figures in the houses on both coasts, the audio animatronics were done in collaboration with Jim Henson Creature Shop. And while there are, I believe, more of them in Orlando, there was a bit of a kerfuffle online over the weekend, which I couldn't follow truly like the thread to the beginning of it. I believe people were upset because not as many figures were on stage in Hollywood. I saw some debate over some being puppeteered in Orlando and them not having those here. Again, I couldn't get to the bottom of the discourse. I couldn't get to like the original statement, but I was still very pleasant with what I saw. And it was really nice to see these bizarro kind of evil Muppets in a house. I kind of felt like, oh, kindred spirit. It felt close. It felt nice for someone who is very, very scared of Halloween Horror Nights. And if that is you, if you are kind of like on the fence, not sure, I would say this year is a really good gateway year for you because a lot of times the houses are just a mishmash of horror stuff and there isn't really anything campy to grab onto or campy that isn't full-blown gore. And this house was not gory at all. It was just like, you know, what if the Chuck E. Cheese band went evil? That's kind of the vibe of it. So much so that I was watching a friend's walkthrough of a different house and was like, oh my gosh, we had completely different Halloween Horror Nights experiences because I didn't go in anything very gory. I kind of went in a supernatural house. I went in Poltergeist, which I'll talk about in a moment. And I went in Five Nights at Freddy's. And those are the only two proper house mazes that I went in. And because of that, I had a great time. I kept it very nostalgic and retro and chill and vintage. And this year, there is a way to do that with the mix of houses that they have. So just keep that in mind. If you were considering it, Five Nights at Freddy's is probably the perfect gateway house for you to get into an event like this. And that house was my only must-do of the entire event. And it kind of rocked. It was great. We were given an express pass for the night and the standby lines for some of these houses were wicked. They were truly wild. If you were planning on doing a lot or everything if possible at Halloween Horror Nights, I would definitely look into the express pass or consider getting the day to night ticket. If you get that day to night ticket, it lets you enter around 2 p.m., I believe, and then you stay through to Halloween Horror Nights. And I think that you get early access to houses about an hour and a half before the actual event begins. So definitely look into your options because you want a leg up, because some of these things have absolutely, no pun intended, killer weights. Now, I'm about to say something very stupid on a theme park podcast. Yes, it is my job to go to these places, but this stuff is a blind spot for me. It's why we're not doing a full episode on HHN, because I don't know anything, you guys. I don't know anything. I'm trying so hard to not be like the person who goes to Disneyland one time and goes on TikTok and is like, has anyone talked about these meat skewers? They're so good. Like, I'm trying really hard. I'm trying really hard to not sound stupid. But I have to be honest with you. I did not know Five Nights at Freddy's was a big movie. Okay? I did not know this. I thought it was a little theme park cult favorite. I was Googling about it while in the queue, being like, so what exactly is going on here? I didn't know people love this. I didn't know Josh Hutcherson, or as Jeffrey calls him, Peeta from Hunger Games. He's in this. He's the star of this franchise. I had no idea. I did not know that this movie had a $20 million budget and made almost $300 million. What? In this day and age? And I'll stop before I sound full Matt Bellany, who is a colleague. I'm not making fun of him. I think he is incredible. But I really loved this house. I really had fun in it, even while being scared. I loved the Chuck E. Cheese vibe. Even though it was a horror show, it had this nostalgic twinge to it. Like, it felt familiar and not too out of the ordinary scary. Because being in this environment, even when there is the threat of demise, being in an environment like Five Nights at Freddy's, something that feels like a pizzeria from your childhood, rocks. Being in this environment, even while screaming at the top of your lungs, is so sick. And it really got me thinking. I wish Universal, Disney, I don't care who, I wish we had a permanent attraction that had the 90s nostalgia theme. I wish they would open a Five Nights at Freddy's pizzeria in one of the eateries at one of these parks. I am not into anything horror. Y'all know this clearly. But I'm very into anything 90s. And it's pretty bizarre if you think about it that nostalgia has fueled so much of the theme parks right now, so much of the theming, so much of the decisions, so much of the merchandise, that we don't have a permanent location that feels like a roller rink, feels like a pizzeria with games. Nothing feels like that permanently inside these parks. And it almost at this point feels like a miss. I was online last week and I saw this video floating around, and it was someone's home movie of shopping at Blockbuster, and it has wormed its way into my brain and I cannot forget it, because I remember that feeling of walking around, of discovery, of being able to like bring something home that you couldn't have otherwise. And everything is at our fingertips now. We can download anything we want. You can get any food delivered. You can just have anything brought to your door, which is a miracle and a gift and incredible. But it really makes me miss being in these places when you had to physically go somewhere to really experience these types of things. And I want to be back there just for a little bit, just to feel what it was like to be in that space. I want to be plopped in that time zone for an hour at a theme park. And it's kind of bizarre that we have so many things at these parks that allude to the 90s, that allude to when millennials were kids, and nobody has really committed to building anything permanent. Come on, do it. Theme park people, do it. Give me my nostalgic thrill when I'm in the parks and more than just having to power through a haunted maze. And just to double down on this, they had some themed Five Nights at Freddy's food, which we tried to get the cupcake. Someone in line told us it sold out already. It was like an hour and a half into the event. Like, this thing was popular. You'll make money. Lean into 90s. And then there was the most sad line I've ever seen for pizza. And I'm saying sad in the sense that people were so hungry. People were visibly hungry. And it was the eatery at Universal that I'm talking about. It's right by the entrance to Super Nintendo World. And it's kind of set up like a convenience store. Like, you don't order at a counter. Everything is just out and you grab it. But they had run out of stuff. So people were waiting for a pizza to basically be like slotted down into the display. Kind of like, you know, a grocery store, how like you get milk, but you don't know what's going on behind the milk. Like, you don't know. There's someone back there. There's like racks of milk and then they shove it out and you just grab your milk, easy peasy. But like, there's a whole world back there. Someone's world every day is to be behind the scenes, to be backstage at Big Milk. That's kind of what was happening here. Like, people are just like slotting down a pizza and then the next person in line would grab it. And people were being so patient, but were clearly so hungry. They were clearly so hungry for food. So I'm telling you this to say, one, we need permanent 90s, something in a theme park. Just let me feel like I am at a roller rink with like the carpet and the lighting. Let me feel like I'm at a Blockbuster. Just bring back that feeling beyond carrying around a themed backpack. And two, if you are going to Halloween Horror Nights, a tip for you for Hollywood, make sure to eat early and late. I would not recommend eating like 2 hours into the event because you will be crushed by the demand for food. I really think the sweet spot is to kind of avoid when everyone else is eating. We ended up eating later that night around 10:30. The event went from 7 p.m. till 1 a.m. So we ate kind of like towards the middle, later end of the event, and it was way easier. I highly recommend that. Just kind of like ebb and flow. And if the line looks super, super long, go to somewhere else in the park because you don't want to be burning money at a ticketed event like this, just waiting in line to get something. The pizza wasn't even really themed. The box might have been. Maybe people were waiting for that. But again, like if you're hungry in these parks, it's not that easy to grab something. So pack a snack, eat before, eat a little snack, eat like a light meal early, and then plan to eat later on at the event. I really want a 90-something. I really want a 90-something. After we survived Five Nights at Freddy's, Jeffrey and I went to Isla Nublar, the Jurassic World tiki bar. And Jeffrey let me pick the drink that we got. And I went for the hardest one because I'm like, you know what? Tonight's the night. I'm going to get the scariest sounding drink. And it had an amount of different, it had so many ingredients in it. I'm scared to admit it to myself and to you on mic. It had 4 different spirits, possibly 7, depending on how you break it down. It was blue. It was blue. You know I don't eat blue. You know I don't drink blue, but you know what I needed to get through this event? I needed blue. I got a tiki drink. I'm pretty sure it was all sugar. Didn't really make a dent in the fear. However, it came in a cute glass, and that was nice. It tasted like juice, but tastes like juice and bad decisions, essentially. But alas, it's the only time in my life I feel like I just need a little something to take the edge off ever. It's only Halloween Horror Nights. And I was celebrating my bravery, and for that, I am proud. We were heading from the lower lot back to the upper lot because, again, this is the thing for Halloween Horror Nights in Hollywood. You kind of got to know. The time it takes to get between the two, because the houses are split up, upper lot, lower lot, it takes a good amount of time, which can eat into your time at the event. So if you're planning on going, definitely plan to maximize the amount of time you are there so that you can do everything that's possible, because you will, just the transportation up, down, even if you're taking the escalators, like it just takes a long, long time. Before we headed to the Starway to take the escalators, I ran into a bunch of my colleagues. I ran into Molly from Mammoth Club. I ran into Nick and Ashley from Mouse Vibes. They went to Halloween Horror Nights, I want to say 3 nights in a row. Like I went Thursday. Okay. I went back Saturday to meet up with my friends, Valerie and Kevin, who were in town. And when I was in the park Saturday, I ran into Molly and I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? You're still here? And she's like, yeah, I'm going 3 nights. And I was like, Molly, explain to me why. And she said that being scared brings her joy, which is kind of the only time it's ever made sense to me. For some people, and for a lot of people, this event was packed. For a lot of people, screaming and being frightened brings them joy. And I think that is beautiful. It couldn't be me, but I think it is wonderful. I love watching along how Molly like watches all these horror movies and then gives us cliff notes and her review of them. That is the most I will ever watch of them. I enjoy that. I always am like, ooh, what did Molly think of them? Beyond that, I respect the game, but it couldn't be me. This is my like Run Disney Wario in a way. This is just something that isn't for me, but I still respect everyone who likes it. But I do see the gateway. I do see how you could get into this as a theme park person. And so if you are on the fence, keep in mind, like if this is starting to sound fun to you, I encourage you to just try it once. Try it 1 year. Maybe don't splurge for Express. Just go 1 year, try a few houses, set a goal, watch the walkthroughs, be like, yeah, this is something I want to see, and just see if you like it. Because there is a chance, if you are a theme park person, this could be the event you love that you maybe didn't know about. And I want you to know about it as soon as possible so that you can go and enjoy it. Ashley from Mouse Vibes gave me like a Taylor Swift friendship bracelet of one of the haunted houses. She had a whole bag of them and was passing them out. And it was kind of like, this is nice. This is nice. I got a scarecrow one, a house that I was too scared to go in, but I will still represent with my bracelet. And it just felt, it's just such a nice community these days. Like, The ebb and flow of people who cover theme parks has changed a lot, even since when I began about 10 years ago. And it's just really nice to see each other at events, even though we do totally different things. Everyone does very, very different stuff. And we still get to like come together and say hi and meet up and like exchange bracelets. And it's just so lovely. And I'm really grateful to be a part of it, especially at this moment in time, because this was not the vibe when I started. It was a lot of newspaper and magazine people and legacy people who'd been running websites for 20 plus years. And now it's people who really created something from the ground up and built a business and are just built their own perspective and share their thoughts firsthandedly. And that is not what this was at the beginning. And so I am so grateful to it. I'm so grateful for anytime I see anyone and we're out and we come together and we celebrate. It's so nice. And I cherish my bracelet. It's still sitting in my jewelry bowl. And I'm like, I can't get rid of this because Ashley gave it to me, even though I was too scared to go in this house. It's a Slash house, Slash like brrr, the guitarist. And they also had, after I saw them, they have like a Slash eatery and they have a Slash hat cake. A cake that looks like a hat, but it had a habanero compote in it. And that's not really something I'm dying to have with my desserts personally. But they had a Slash stilt walker who looked so cool. He had like a skeleton face, but looked so rad. And just kept like, had like, a leather jacket on, kept posing for photos. He was cool. Like, that wasn't that scary. It was cool. And it also really, and this is a sidebar, really made me appreciate that Universal hires stilt walkers. Because what a job. Can you imagine meeting, if I met someone who was a stilt walker, I would be like, give me 30 minutes of your time. I need to know everything about your life. I love that they employ stilt artisans, you know? It's so cool to be around someone on stilts and also navigating a crowd like that when you're all the way up. I don't even have the core strength to hold my body up straight while I'm recording this. And yet stilt walkers, they amaze me. And I don't think that we give them enough love. Now, we accomplished one house. We were gabbing, we were hanging out, we had our little drinks, and it was time to do something scary. It was time for the Terror Tram, an experience you will only find like this at Universal Studios Hollywood's Halloween Horror Nights. Lots of H's in there. Lots of Universal Studios Hollywood's Halloween Horror Nights. And I really, after this year, I've decided I love the Terror Tram. I'm going to tell you all about it right after this break. Stick around. I have so much more to tell you about Halloween Horror Nights. Ah! Okay, I'll see you on the other side. Ooh! I'm back from months of traveling, which means we're cooking! We are cooking. No more delivery of a mystery bowl with ingredients that sounded healthy when I ordered it, but like definitely aren't. Nah-ah! I'm getting nutrition and I'm getting restaurant-level deliciousness week after week by cooking at home with EveryPlate. EveryPlate lets you eat whatever you want to eat without wasting time or cash or ingredients. It's like having a sous chef who's just going to gather all your ingredients for recipes like crispy buffalo ranch chicken and cheesy Mexican street corn hash and make cooking easy for you. You'll spend less on these flavor-packed homemade meals than you would on normal groceries or even at a restaurant. And thanks to EveryPlate's constantly rotating weekly recipes delivered right to your door, you'll always have the best answer to, what do you want to do for dinner? A conversation I have in my house every single night. Their food is legitimately delicious. You know I am obsessed with the dishes I've made. I've told you all about them. But my favorite thing about EveryPlate is that they'll give you everything you need. Do you know how annoying it is to buy an entire tub of sour cream when you only need a little dollop? A full spice jar when you know you're only going to use a dash? Of course you do. We've all been there. And with EveryPlate, you'll get delicious meals at a great value without any of that financial or food waste. So what are you waiting for? Dig into these flavor-packed meals your household will love. New customers can enjoy a special offer of only $1.99 a meal. That's a really good offer. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use code AMUSING199 to get started. Applied as discount on first box, limited time only. That's everyplate.com/podcast with code AMUSING199. Enjoy! It is back to school season, and for the first time in my life, that means something different. I'm about to bring a child to preschool for the first time, and when I tell you, I want to show up and show these moms that I'm a cool adult, and you know where I'm looking for that wardrobe? Nowhere else but Quince. Quince has all the elevated essentials for autumn. 100% Mongolian cashmere from $50. Like, that should be it, and yet there is so much more. Washable silk tops and skirts, perfectly tailored denim, all at prices that feel too good to be true. Queens is the last place on the planet which has actually good prices. By partnering directly with ethical top-tier factories and cutting out the middlemen, that's how they're able to do it, because they deliver luxury quality pieces at half the price of similar brands. It's the kind of wardrobe upgrade that feels smart, stylish, and effortless. Two quick things about why I love Quince. One, I'm wearing my exercise unitard today. I wore it all over West Hollywood. You know I love the Quince bike shorts, but this with the built-in bra, it is so comfy. I did a workout class. I went for a chic lunch. I'm obsessed. And number two, if you are looking for fall clothes, go to Quince's website and then go to the Style Gone Viral page. It is like walking into the cheat codes for Instagram. This is what every cool girly is wearing, and it's all here, and it's all so affordable. So keep it classic and cozy and cool this fall with long-lasting staples from Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. When did clothes change? When did pants get baggy again? When did those barrel jeans just appear out of thin air? And those classy, like, cute little vests that people wear out to dinner and look so chic? When did that happen? The trends keep shifting, and my clothes in my closet are from a life I lived in 2017 that is very different from the one I live now. So thank goodness, Armoire is here to solve quite literally every clothing conundrum you and I both have. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you do is take this 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. Then they show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Whenever you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I use and I love Armoire. I love it. Not just because it's injected my wardrobe with fun new garments to try and made getting dressed easier and honestly was invaluable when my body was completely fluctuating as a new mom who was breastfeeding and exercising and didn't have clothes that fit me properly or even felt like me anymore. Armoire does all that, but I love renting clothes from Armoire because buying new clothes is a commitment that I do not have time for. How many times have you bought new pants and like sat down to drive and you're like, this is so uncomfortable, I can't sit like this? Or bought a fun shirt that you fell in love with at the store only to come home and realize it's so itchy and you somehow did not notice? That happened to me after my trip to New York. Extremely itchy shirt. Don't know how I didn't notice. I can't return it. It's from a store I don't have here. I'm stuck with it forever, and I don't like that feeling. Armoire lets you try it before you buy it. And once you fall in love with some or possibly all items in your order, you can buy them at a discount. And they've got some incredible brands, Frame, Page, French Connection, with so many styles to choose from. I've talked before about how Armoire really helped me fill some holes in my wardrobe, and I really needed like a fun skirt that I didn't have in my size, and I needed a black sweater because I somehow did not own a black sweater, and I was able to find both things through Armoire. I tried them, I loved them, and I bought them. Win, win, win. Right now, Very Amusing listeners can experience everything I'm talking about and give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/amusing. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. I love a sweet, and I love a little treat, but more than anything, I love a healthy snack. It can usually be really hard to find a grab-and-go option, but Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and seriously delicious way to add more flavor and nutrition to your day. So when you buy American-grown frozen raspberries, you're getting fresh-off-the-field flavor all year long. This isn't any old frozen fruit. These are frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like antioxidants, vitamin C, and fiber! Everyone is out in the streets talking about fiber, and one serving of these red raspberries has 21% of your daily value. One of the highest fiber berries. Incredible! Pop them in a smoothie, put them in overnight oats, or just eat them individually like nature's little morsels of goodness. They're healthy, delicious, and convenient. With American-grown frozen red raspberries, you can have it all. Finally! You can find them at Kroger, Meijer, even Costco. Yes, these American-grown gems of deliciousness are all over. Just look for Product of the U.S. on the bag. Oh, and sidebar, they're also used in Smucker's Peanut Butter and Raspberry Uncrustables. We love a celebrity sighting! If you want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries and get more details on where you can grab a bag of these delicious berries, go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. Welcome back. We are going to discuss Universal Studios Hollywood's Halloween Horror Nights Tram Tour, Terror Tram Tour, my bad. But before we do, I do want to mention something that I haven't really discussed about this year's HHN. I do think outside of the mazes, outside of the physical house structures that you walk through, I feel like HHN has gotten a little less scary. I remember going probably 8 years ago at this point with my friend Alex, and some of the houses were closer to the New York City backlot of Universal Studios. Now, the New York City backlot is something you only sometimes see on a tram tour. It's very separate, and it's quite a hike away from the theme park. That's where they had staged a lot of the houses one of the first two times I went, probably 8 years ago and about 5 years ago. That area, they're not using for Halloween Horror Nights this year. But to get there, originally, you had to go through this tunnel, okay? You had to go through this tunnel that was full of people with chainsaws. It was awful, okay? It was awful. And I have definitely said this in my reporting. As a woman, whenever I'm alone anywhere, the fear is that a stranger will come up behind you and nab you. And that is what this entire tunnel was. It was just people coming up behind you and scaring the bejesus out of you. And you had to go through this to get to those houses and to get back. At the time, I was doing more magazine reporting. So like I had to see these houses for work. It wasn't just I could make decisions on my own as my own solo entity. I was representing a brand. And so I had to go do it. And that tunnel was awful. It still lives in my nightmares. I have found that the walkthrough scare zones, kind of like the scary things that appear on the path that you walk through, were really not scary this year. They were not that bad. And part of it, I think, is because the current mascot, the number one boy when it comes to Halloween Horror Nights right now, is this dude, Art the Clown, from the Terrifier films. Now, what I knew about the Terrifier films before I stepped foot on Universal Studios property last week was that these were films that were so gory, so horrifying, that I remember when the first one came out, there were headlines that people were like puking in their seats because they were so revolted by the films. That's the last I heard of them. Little did I know that it became a cult phenomenon for these somewhat realistic, torturous films? Okay, I did not know this. So I show up and I'm like, oh, there's the big bad. There's the big bad. He's this clown guy, but he's real, real bad. He is a serial you know what. I'm being loose with language because I know there are younger people listening. This dude, big bad, I did not anticipate people to greet him like Mickey Mouse, okay? People were like, yay, Art the Clown's here. I saw this dude do patty cake with someone. I saw him just like happily creep up behind people and be like, hello. He's carrying around a bag of Lord knows what. I do not want to know what's in that bag. It is like an evil Santa situation. I know enough to know what's in the bag can't be good, but I'm scared to know what's in the bag. This dude was everywhere. I saw Art on the lower lot. I saw Art on the upper lot. I saw Art in a store. I saw Art on the walkway to Art's maze, the Terrifier maze. Art was everywhere. And while I think this character is extremely repulsive and the entire franchise truly terrifies me, no pun intended, I do think that the most popular character at the moment being a freaky clown like this, someone who's like personable in a way, oh God, I can't even believe I'm saying that about a mass psycho. We can call him a psycho. He's just a straight up psycho. I think that because the current en vogue character, the one everyone wants to meet, is a little playful and a little silly, it has kind of shifted the tone of Halloween Horror Nights this year. Because I have been in many scare zones. I've been to Halloween Horror Nights Hollywood at least four times. I've been to Orlando's once, but it was traumatic enough with all the scary stuff. Maybe I've been twice at this point. Yeah, I've been twice. I have been in scare zones where I was walking through like, no, like really didn't want to walk through just to get from point A to point B. And these were not as bad. And I think that this Art the Clown dude, while I do not stand him because he seems evil, didn't understand people were walking around with plush backpacks of the dude, little cutie keychains. And I'm like, isn't this man representative of everything we fear when we listen to true crime? Alas, I think kind of the fanification of this one character has made Halloween Horror Nights a little more palatable and not as scary. Now, if you are a deep horror person, I could see a world where you would go to this and be like, it's not as scary as I was anticipating. But if you, again, are someone who's thinking about possibly going, I do think this might be your year. Because there are so many touch points that are similar to theme park stuff that we love. Five Nights at Freddy's feels whimsical, feels nostalgic, feels like something we would recognize as something we would want to do. This Art the Clown dude, it's not the same as like a bloody ghoul walking around. He is playful. He is evil, but the dude is playful. The dude seems like a barrel of laughs in the park. If I didn't know that the backstory was grim, I would think like, oh, this is just a fun, silly clown. Something must have happened. I don't know, but he seems like a good time. And the other part of that equation is the terror tram tour. Because I have been on this before where I've been like, oh, this is really like, it's always a little less scary because it's open wide. You are walking on the back lot of Universal Studios. It's not the traditional tram tour with like spider webs. Like you literally take the tram, you get out and you walk around and then you board the tram to come back. And this year it felt a little more campy fun as well. And I don't want to be out here being like, we should have fun with our nightmares, but it just felt a little better because we got off the tram and I was like, my girl Megan's here? My girl M3gan is here? And she is camp incarnate. Megan is my favorite character from any of these movies. I don't watch any horror films. I have seen both Megans in theaters, okay? I like blocked off 4 babysitting hours and was like, gotta go, bye, and then went to go see these films. And Megan being there was so fun. Megan doing a dance around people with chainsaws was a much different vibe than the chainsaw village tunnel that I have been used to. And I think that it, all of these things combined, made this year's Halloween Horror Nights a little more palatable and a little less big scary. We walked through, the entire terror tram was themed Blumhouse, essentially, for the most part. So we walked through a black phone, like you're wide open, but there's experiences that you walk through. I think it feels better than being in a maze where you're just going left, right, and just turning and turning. You're open, you're in the fresh air. And it just feels nicer. The black phone area I've been told this man is named The Grabber from friends who have defended that they find him attractive. I'm just going to leave that there. They all have a crush on this man named The Grabber. I don't think he's a person. There's a part where like his mask comes off and but anyway, yeah, he like ice skates a little. Sure. Didn't know what was going on there, but I wasn't that scared because the spirit of Megan was with me. Megan hosts the Terror Tram Tour. There's video like at the beginning where Megan is explaining everything to you. It is very funny. She makes a very good joke shaming parents who bring young children to this. There was a young child on our tram who got off and we were like, oh, you shouldn't. Like Megan was right. You shouldn't be bringing young kids here. We went past, what I really love about the Terror Tram is that you get to get up close to historic Hollywood set pieces that you wouldn't be able to otherwise. You get to see them when you're on the regular tram tour, but here you are walking past the Bates Motel. Like you are literally, there's people popping out of it left and right. You are walking past a makeshift blood-covered, alas, Hollywood sign. And you get to go up to Norman Bates and take a photo with him if you want to, right in front of the Psycho House, which is something you only usually drive past. In the Purge portion of the maze, which is usually my least favorite because it's a little too realistic for me, you get to walk up close to the War of the Worlds set. And like you mentioned earlier, with that new layout of Universal floating around, no, we don't know if it's real or not. That's all I'm saying. There are big changes that could be coming to Universal Studios Hollywood. And I, for one, was like, I'm glad I got to see this up close because you never know if it'll be the last time. You never know with theme parks if things will change. And I really appreciated like, oh my gosh, I am walking through a set that Steven Spielberg set up. This was Steven Spielberg's idea for a movie starring my guy Tom Cruise. And I'm just standing in the set and there's people like trying to scare me as part of it. It was just like a moment to appreciate how special it is that something like this can happen at a theme park that doubles as a working film studio. But the highlight of the Terror Tram, for me, for Jeffrey, for my friends who probably could not, were would have preferred that I stopped talking about it because I couldn't stop talking about it. We got to meet Megan. Megan did the dance in front of my own very human eyes. Again, Megan 2.0, the sequel, extremely good. Not a horror movie. It's like an action movie. It was great. If you haven't seen it, I really recommend. We were howling in the theater, howling, laughing. I love it. I love anything Allison Williams does. These movies are so unhinged. You have to see them. And they're not like scary gory. They're not. It's just like watching a cute, overprotective robot. And for that, I love her. After we got back from the Terror Tram, we decided we really needed food at this point. And I was given a dining pass for the evening. This is a new offering they have at Universal Studios Hollywood for Halloween Horror Nights. And essentially, it's $71 for a dining pass. And you are entitled to 2 eligible entrees and 4 eligible snacks. All of the menus throughout the park have the little symbols on them, and many, many things were included with this. I actually didn't think this many things would be included, but we ended up eating at the 3 Broomsticks inside Wizarding World. Trans rights forever. Listen, I don't love J.K. Rowling, but if you're hungry at Universal Studios, that is your best dining option. We got a ton of food there. We used most of our entree credits. Jeffrey got a vegetarian shepherd's pie, which was great. I got fish and chips, which is always great. You know, one of our first episodes is reporting on that fish and chips, and I stand behind it. The quality has not waned. We got a sticky toffee pudding, which was incredible. And then we tried the non-dairy topping to butterbeer, and it was delicious. It was absolutely divine. And I know that's a new-ish thing. They haven't had that forever, and I think it's really nice that they have that offering, and it was really good. I got that inside the restaurant. I'm not sure if they have the non-dairy at the carts, but they had it in the restaurant. Also, they have mobile order at the restaurants now? Didn't know that. But we walked right in. There was no wait. And it was really fun to like be in there and take a break from Horror Nights because the theming of Wizarding World is locked in. And so it's this area where like the horror of the event can't permeate. And it felt really special to just be like, we're going to take a break. It's quiet. It's nice. It's themed. And we ate our food and we relaxed and it was lovely. My friend Ariana came to visit because she was on a tour with a bunch of people. She was there for the WWE house, the Wyatt Sick house, I think it was called. One of the ones I did not go in because I'm scared of many things. And it was lovely. It was like a lovely break to the evening. Now, I did crunch the numbers a bit on the dining pass, and the pass was $71. We used everything except for one of the snack credits, and we spent $60. So I think there is a way to maximize it to save money. It does feel like if you're a Disney dining plan person who loves to crunch the numbers and maximize the money to like get a discount, it absolutely works. But otherwise, I don't know if I see the appeal. Because our entrees, it's not like our entrees were not pricey. I mean, they were $18.99 and $16.99. The snacks we got were $9.50 and $7.99, which were higher priced than maybe a popcorn, which I did also get a popcorn or a soda, which you were entitled to as well. But if that's something you want to do and make it easy to split with a friend instead of whipping out cash all night and like paying with your card constantly and tallying at the end of the night, it would be convenient. It was convenient at the booths that knew how to use it. I think that was a first night thing that some of them didn't have scanners. But regardless, the math would have to math for you. And I found it hard. There was no like food diagram. There was no real way to plan for it. But I assume that will change in the weeks going forward because it was the first night of the event. We finished eating around 10:40. And after that, we decided we had to do one more house. Jeffrey really wanted to do Poltergeist, which is a house I had actually been in. When I went to Halloween Horror Nights, I think it was for the first time about maybe 9 years ago in Orlando, 10 years ago. I went in a Poltergeist house. So I was like, okay, I can do this. This isn't like, I'm going to be very round with the language. This isn't like, looking around, seeing violence head on. Like there is a lot of violence displayed in this house, in these houses, not always spirits and things being possessed and scary scarecrows. It's not all that. There are some really gory, yucky things in some of the houses. And I tried to steer clear of that this year and it gave me mental peace and I ended up having a great time. I forgot my keys at home. So Ben was waiting up for me. And so I only had time for one more house. I would have done more otherwise if I wasn't extremely stupid and forgot my keys. But we walked to the area where Poltergeist and the Terrifier house was. And just again, to plug the express pass, the Terrifier wait was almost, I think, 2 hours at the beginning of the night. This was closer to 11 p.m. by the time we got there. The Terrifier house had a posted 100-minute wait, 10 minutes with Universal Express. So You are saving a lot of time if you do splurge for it. But if you're fine doing less, maybe buying two regular tickets, because I assume the pricing might be similar, just look into it. But the Express Pass was definitely a much, 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 much faster way to go, especially because the event isn't that long and it's hard to jam it all in otherwise. Poltergeist House was cool, even if I have no idea what's going on. We walk through like a tummy at some point. There's like a lot of organs. I don't know if like a big whale swallowed us. I don't know what happened. I did spend the entirety of the house gripping Jeffrey's hand like a claw and then hunched over like fully like deadlift style, hunched over, just going through going, no, because I was terrified. I didn't know that clowns were a part. I'm not scared of clowns. I do love a clown. I didn't know that clowns were part of the Poltergeist universe. Must have forgotten that, but it was scary. I thought it was scary. I do think Halloween Horror Nights Hollywood is not as scary as Orlando, but I also didn't go in all the scary things because Terrifier has a moment of extreme gore onto a person. I'm not going to say much more. If you know what it is, you know. And people keep posting it on my feed, and I think it's absolutely disgusting and horrifying. But this house didn't have any of that, and for that, it was fun. So if you have considered Halloween Horror Nights, if you're like, I don't know, I don't think I would like it, grab a friend. Plan to do a house or two. I would recommend the ones I did, honestly, because that's what I chose. I had a great experience doing the three things I did and hanging out. The rides are also open and there's no waits. Like, I would maybe give it a try. And if you're too scared this year, I've taken years off too. So don't even worry about it. And that's it for Halloween Horror Nights. We are going to do a few churros calls in this episode. Our ad break, which traditionally is in a different place, will be between the calls. So if you see that, that's why. And yeah. Let's get to the hotline.
Hi, Carly. This is Victoria. I am calling to comment on your DVC hotel ranking episode. I specifically want to talk about your ranking of Old Key West. I loved how high you ranked this resort. I am a DVC owner there, so I stay there often. Everything you said about it, I think, is on point. The energy of the resort, just the overall atmosphere, the people who stay there. The rooms are the biggest rooms on property, but something has been deterring my family from staying there lately, and it is the bed situation. So I wanted to bring it up in case other listeners aren't aware. Most of the time, if you stay in a Disney villa at a DVC, your living room sleepers are on fold-down Murphy beds. So you've got two people that Disney allocates in their room count to sleep on the fold-down Murphy double bed. This is like the standard bed you would find in an All-Star or whatever. You know, you pull it down from the wall, and it's got like the cartoon mural on the back, and then it's a full-size bed that two people can sleep in. The fifth sleeper is the twin-size bed that folds out from under the TV in a similar manner. These are pretty standard now across DVC resorts, except you will not find them in Old Key West, and I think it's because there's so many windows, which is a separate great advantage of those rooms, but I don't think Disney can mount wall beds there for that reason. So if you're staying in Old Key West and you have people who are going to have to sleep in the living room, they will be allocated to old school pull-out couches, like take the cushion out, unfold the metal bed frame, pull-out couch. They put two people on the couch, which would be a full size. And then if you have a fifth sleeper, it's actually in a fold out armchair, which is like a pull out bed, but it's a twin size. So these are really uncomfortable compared to the other beds that you'll find, in DVCs, to the point that my family doesn't want to stay there anymore if we have more than a night or two that someone would have to sleep on that. And we end up picking places like Saratoga over Old Key West, so no one has to sleep on those. So I thought I would call and share that in case people were not aware of the bed situation at Old Key West. Otherwise, wonderful resort. Love it. Thanks for doing the podcast, and thanks for bringing us Disney when we can't be there. Bye.
Hi! Okay, this is such a useful call because I'm now realizing that we both have approached Old Key West from completely different ends. You have DVC, I don't. You need large capacity. I only needed more space. So when I stayed at Old Key West and truly fell in love with it on that trip, we had four people in a room that could have slept, let me count, nine people. And we booked it simply because one two-bedroom at Old Key West was way cheaper than even getting two separate moderate hotel rooms. It just kind of made sense for us at the price point. I think it was under $700 a night for the two-bedroom. It was really, really exceptional, and I had the best time. But you raise an absolute issue, and that is that if you're looking for these large format rooms where people will be sleeping in things that aren't the traditional standalone bed, you are really comparing an old fold-out sofa and that cursed chair. That is weird. The bed and the chair, I've seen it. I haven't slept on it because I'm planning the trip. But it's not good. Like, it's not a good situation. And the last time I have seen the bed and the chair was actually when I stayed in a Copper Creek cabin. Because shockingly, those cabins, which are not even 10 years old, they're maybe like eight-ish years old, they have those two beds. They have a pull-out queen sofa and they have the pull-out chair twin bed, which again, if you're sleeping in that, you drew the short stick. I have never had to use them lately, and I trust you. I believe you, but I am curious to know. The Murphy bed in a DVC style room, where I most recently stayed in one at Disney's Riviera Resort. We had one standard bed, one pull-down Murphy bed. The Murphy bed is definitely, I assume, better than a couch bed. But do you like the Murphy bed? Because I didn't think it was as comfortable as the main bed. I gave my mom the main bed because I'm a saint. What can I say? No, she deserved it. I thought the pull down process was kind of strenuous, weirdly. You pull it down halfway and then it hits a point where you have to kind of shove it down. But then what's the deal with the coffee table? Because the coffee table I thought was supposed to support the bed, but then it tips the bed up so it's on a diagonal, which is strange. Like, I don't want all the blood rushing to my head in the middle of the night. And then also, again, it all depends on who you're traveling with, because those pull-out small single beds are so great for children, from what I hear. But if you're traveling with adults, or even with a small child like me, that bed is not a good fit for my toddler. Like, we can't put her in that fold-out bed. She would roll right off. It's not going to happen. But also, I, as an adult, could not sleep in that. As an adult, I could sleep in the pull-out the sofa chair. Don't want to. Could. Never will. But could. But could I curl up on one of those fold-out wall beds, like where, you know, under the TV, the brrp, that have the artwork in back? I really don't think I can fit. And I'm tall, but I'm not that tall. And I just don't think it would work for me. So this is, it's interesting because I've never thought of it this way, where really, depending on who you're traveling with and what your capacity is and what your needs are, some DVC hotels are a much better fit than others. And Saratoga Springs, because of that, might be a much, much better fit for some people, even though it is not my favorite. So thank you for calling in about this. This is, I'm honestly never going to forget this call. This is so smart because you're right. When it comes to, if you have full capacity and you're choosing between bed options, you're definitely going to want the Murphy bed over the couch bed, even if I still think the Murphy bed ain't that great. The design is great. They even fold it up and have space during the day, but pulling it down, not cute. Not cute. Don't love the process. Thank you for your call. Thank you for listening. And if you have anything else like this that you can enlighten me on, please let me know. Please call. Thank you so much. It is our magical discount fairy, Becky, back with more.
I'm back. And this time I have a brand new one that just hit the wires not too long ago. How do you feel about Aulani? The tropical breezes, the cocktails with little umbrellas.
The Duffy. The Duffy is what you got to be leading with.
Why did I not even think to go there for you? I guess I need to like cue up. I'm thinking cocktails. You're thinking stuffed bears. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So they've just dropped a brand new offer to save up to 25% on stays 5 or more nights, or to save 20% on stays for up to 4 consecutive nights. This is for select rooms and villas if you go between January 4th, 2026, all the way to April 9th, 2026.
Becky, I got 4 words for you. Goofy by a pool. Goofy by a pool. That's all I need. That's all I need to be happy on vacation.
Got it. So I know where we're going next. Okay. I've got a couple others, though, really quickly, because Adventures by Disney is not being left behind. They still have a couple of great offers, too. If you book by December 31st of this year, you can save up to $400 per person off select international land or even their river cruise departures, which are amazing, which means England and France or Greece or Italy or South Africa. All of those are kind of up for these $400 per person off.
Ooh.
So If you have had your fill of Disney parks this year and you want to go try something else, but still have that wonderful, amazing Disney brand backing you on your vacation, and Adventures by Disney is a great option.
And I do know you got one little magic trick in your back pocket. I know you got
I
one more.
do. I have one little exclusive offer, which is only available through MEI Travel, and this one is Royal Caribbean Cruises. If you book a qualifying cruise by September 30th this year for travel all the way through 2026 in a balcony or suite, we'll give you a free soda package for two guests.
As you know, as I keep saying, the only reason I went on a Royal Caribbean sailing is because you told me to, because I will do
I
what you say, because you are always
know.
right and your track record is perfect.
And we had the best time on that ship, didn't we?
We really did. Like, I thought I would have fun. I did not think I would be actively wanting to rebook it. So I had a blast and it really changed my perspective on the cruise line. Becky, thank you so much for coming on and telling us all about these many, many ways to save money with MEI Travel and Mass Fan Travel.
Thanks for having me on, and I'm going to start queuing up what we're going to talk about next time.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Carly. My name is Peyton from Chicago. I will be visiting Disneyland with my partner for one weekday in early November as part of a longer trip to LA. So my question for you is twofold. First, I'm trying to decide if park hopping is worth the extra expense for us. I don't necessarily want to burn us out doing a hectic two-park day in the middle of a longer trip, but I've never been to DCA and feel a little crazy going all the way to California and not visiting both parks, especially since I'm not from California. I don't know when we'll be back. I'm also wondering what attractions shared by both Disneyland and Disney World we should prioritize since we only have one day and we visited Orlando together in the past year. We really love thrill rides, but I'm also a huge fan of the classic Disney dark rides, and many people say that Anaheim has the definitive versions of those rides. Let me know your thoughts. Thanks so much. Love the pod. Bye.
Oh my gosh, I am so glad you called because, okay, here's the deal. Usually I would say, don't stress yourself out. You're going for a day. You don't want to burn out. You have this long trip. Stick to Disneyland. There's plenty to do. You can enjoy all of it. I am not going to give you my go-to advice. And here is why. You are coming in early November. You don't think you will be back here for a while. Disney California Adventure, right now, this is like the last few months of the version it's going to be. This is your last opportunity to ever see something like Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue. This is your last opportunity, if you are into vintage Disney stuff, to ever like lock in that pre-nostalgia memory of what it was like when a Drew Carey figurine from Superstar Limo was converted to be someone in the Monsters, Inc. universe. This is your last shot to see some of these areas before they are transformed in the future, likely shut down before your next trip here. So for that, I do think you need to see DCA with your own eyes before anything changes. If you are into nostalgic stuff, if you're kind of like, I'm not bothered if I don't see this for the last time when I was right there, then it becomes a little more loose because there is so much for you to do at Disneyland. But if you think that the majesty of Cars Land is something that appeals to you, I would check that out. If you are looking at the price of upgrading to a park hopper and it's worth seeing at least one or two attractions there, I would say go for it, just not even as the priority of the day, but just to add a little something on. If you would rather use that money for lightning lanes at Disneyland Park, I think that's also a great decision. But for me, it really comes down to, do you want to walk in Walt's footsteps? I'm joking. If you want to walk through the park to see it as this last final version before all of the changes come, because they're going to take out a chunk of that park to redo, and this is your last opportunity to see it. Now, depending on which way you end up going with tickets, it will affect what I'm about to say. But when it comes to what you want to prioritize for things that are at Disney World and Disneyland Resort, because it seems like you go to Disney World not all the time, but like you will go back there before you're at Disneyland, I would prioritize Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. It's quite different here. Haunted Mansion Holiday is going to be happening while you are in California. That is a must do. You gotta see it. Depending on when exactly in November it happens, you might get It's a Small World Holiday. I think you're going to miss the cutoff, but if you happen to be able to see that, I would absolutely add that to the list. Space Mountain is different here. Definitely worth doing if you do roller coasters like that. I would recommend probably do single rider just to move through more quickly and to save time. It'll just speed things up a bit. And I know you didn't ask for like what you should do, because like obviously you want to do Indiana Jones, you want to do stuff like that. But I do want to plug that you should do at least one Fantasyland ride. Something that might not be on your hit list, but I would still try to do it. A Pinocchio, a Snow White, a Mr. Toad. Just do at least one of those just to feel what old school Disneyland was like. I just think that every time, I try to recommend anytime anyone goes to Disneyland or goes back to Disneyland, I think it's really, really nice to sit in those seats and be like, oh yeah, this is way different than Disney World. And even if you have been before, I just think it's a nice reminder of how quaint the footprint is of this park specifically. Because you will be seemingly back in Orlando before you'll be back here for your trip, I would recommend skipping Galaxy's Edge entirely, unless you wanted to get a Lightning Lane for Rise of the Resistance. But if you are going to both parks, prioritize your Lightning Lane individual purchase for Radiator Springs Racers. I would skip Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. The queue is great, but it's not great enough for you to spend time there. Skip Little Mermaid if you do DCA. Skip Jungle Cruise. I think that the Disneyland juice is more worth the squeeze on those tiny Fantasyland rides. I think that'll give you more of a like, wow, Disneyland high than this. Skip Tiana's just for time, and because you can go on a version in Orlando, hypothetically, the next time you're at a park. Skip Winnie the Pooh and skip Toy Story Mania. Toy Story Mania is so in demand at DCA. I kind of like the setup better in Hollywood Studios anyway. And here, I don't think it's essential for your day if it's not something you're absolutely obsessed with, because the guts of the ride is basically the same thing. I hope that helps. I hope you have so much fun. And again, just check out the pricing, really, if you can't decide, check out the pricing of Lightning Lanes that you would want at Disneyland versus the pricing of that plus or that minus getting a park hopper. And if you really just, if you're like a nostalgic person like me, you might want to see it. But if not, you will have plenty to do at Disneyland the day that you are there. Have so much fun. And what a great time to visit. Oh, I hope you have a blast. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I was a little bummed about not being able to go on this Amusapalooza, but I'm very excited to hear that you really want to do more of them. So don't feel bad. Be gentle with yourself, because now this just gives me more of an opportunity to chat with the FOMALY and see what they're about, so that I actually feel like I have a couple more that I want to go see in person rather than just my best friend Carly, you. So I really appreciate all your hard work and everybody at MEI for trying their very best to accommodate everybody. And I hope this first trip is really wonderful and exciting so that we can all see you at. All right. Love you guys. Carly.
Thank you for this call. I do need to tell you from the top that I have recorded a response now 4 times. Because I did not heed your advice and I kind of spiraled and apologized profusely for 3.5 straight minutes. So we are going to try a new approach, taking in the energy you have given me and really channeling it and saying, thank you for calling. I feel very, very guilty that people were disappointed. That was not the point. We truly did not think we were going to sell this out, period. And we did not think we were going to sell it out almost immediately. We had so many plans in place for if we undersold, we priced it in a way where we were expecting to undersell. How many other examples do I have? We planned everything. We planned for if basically nobody showed up. We planned on if like 30 people showed up. We had a lot of plans in place, and we unfortunately did not plan for the pendulum to swing the other way. We were very set with our plans, and it was just in the wrong direction, unfortunately. I genuinely, and I've been seeing friends all weekend who keep being like, wait, what is going on with your trip? What happened? Can you explain it to me? And I'm like, okay, this is the best way I can explain it, is that we assumed it would be like asking a group of people, like 5, 6, 7 friends, being like, let's all go out to dinner. And everyone going, oh my God, yes, I'd love to. And then you're like, okay, I have the date, it's here. And them going, oh no, I can't go that night, I'm so sorry. And then you end up with like 2 people going out. That is what I thought would happen, because that's how it happens in regular life. And that is not what happened. People were ready to book in a way that my brain couldn't even prepare for, imagine, or plan for. Like none of us thought, we thought people would want to go. We didn't know this many people would be so committed immediately to going. So to not, again, have another 3-minute response of me apologizing, I will just say, I will never not feel bad about what happened for people who weren't able to go. But the silver lining is that I was planning this as though this may be the only time we'll ever do this. I was like, I hope there's a future where we do it more and more, but I never thought that we had a runway, like a path to truly being able to plan more of these. We planned this one, the things like the way we scheduled it, the venues we chose, we planned it hoping people would come, but preparing in case they didn't. And now that we know so many people would be interested in going on a trip together, we can now plan at a level that I could not have even imagined or thought of a few weeks ago. So there will be something more in the future, more events. I have a lot of ideas. Obviously, I'm very excited for them. I am a little stymied by guilt because I want to be excited and plan stuff publicly and I don't want to make anyone feel bad. So I will be trying to do some things to include people who aren't at Amusapalooza in it, whether that's like a gift bag giveaway or something. Please know I am thinking all of those things through, and hopefully for the next one, we will be able to have much more increased capacity and make sure that no one is turned away, because that is, when I tell you we planned for everything, we did not plan for people being turned away almost immediately. I did not anticipate this. We goofed. We thought people would come. We didn't know this. We didn't know everyone would be a yes to dinner. I am so grateful. I'm so honored. I am so appreciative. And I just hope that now that we know this, maybe the next one will be planned in an even better way. And we have so much fun we can have. We have so many more things we can do now that we know this. So thank you for your call. I appreciate it. I do need to stop feeling really, 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 really guilty and just feel really, really guilty. And if you are going to Musapalooza, to everyone out there, I can't wait. I can't wait to hang out with you. And hopefully it will be the first of many. So thank you for calling. I really appreciate it. And I need to, again, channel what you said and move forward. Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, get ready for even more fun in the future. Okay, no joke. Like, now that we know numbers, I just finished responding to that. And in my head, I went, oh, and I thought of an idea for if we ever do a Disney World event again. So like, now that we know numbers, oh my gosh, there's so many more things we can do. So get excited. This is a good thing in the long run, even though I feel very, very bad now. But in the future, oh my God, because if we know this many people are going to come, okay, I won't say anything else, but I've got ideas. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this mishmash episode. I should have said at the top what mishmash is, but it's kind of like kitchen sink. It's like a type of soup you can get at a deli where you get a matzo ball, you get a kreplak dumpling, you get some noodles, you get some rice. And that's what this episode was, a little bit of everything, and I hope you enjoyed. Please rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts. Rate and follow us on Spotify. It really does make a difference. It's like sending a carrier pigeon out to sea to go, cuckoo, listen to this podcast, you'll love it! And for that, I am very grateful. If you've already rated and reviewed, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it endlessly. I really, truly do. You can give us a call at 747-TRUES. I love to talk about your trips. I love to hear your opinions, because your opinions are sometimes the thing that I need to be like, you're right. I will believe this going forward. I appreciate it. Thank you for all the calls. We got through some of them this week. Keep them coming. It is the joy of this podcast is being able to converse with you through the TRUES hotline. And I'm so grateful for it. If you're thinking about planning a trip on a cruise line, Royal Caribbean, Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland, Disney World, Adventures by Disney, Aulani, reach out to Mouse Fan Travel, MEI Travel. They will help you along the way. They will save you from wasting time on the go.com booking platform. Not a good website. Let me tell you, last night, it was like midnight. It was midnight. I shouldn't have been up that late. And I was like, I wonder like what, if there's any pockets around the holidays. Like, I was just looking preliminary before I would have reached out to my agent to be like, I think we should maybe book something. I was like, I wonder if there's maybe a pocket, like a weekday pocket in early December that isn't that busy. And the website had a bug, and it told me that the cheapest room at Disney's Contemporary Resort was, I believe it was $1,700. That was not true. Once you clicked through, because I was like, no way. No way. Once you clicked through, the rooms were much less than that. But still, that's how bad the booking platform is. I'm sorry, Disney, but your website is like hieroglyphics on a wall. Like, come on. Your website should be closer to the end of the journey of Spaceship Earth, not the beginning. So reach out to mousemantravel.com/amusing. They will help you plan your trip, and they won't lead you astray with rates on the website that are buggy and not actually accurate. They will make sure you take advantage of discounts and save money, and they are great, and I love them, and I highly recommend them. They make this podcast possible. They make Amusapalooza possible. Full stop. It would not exist without them at all. And for that, I am so grateful. Mousefantravel.com/amusing for all your travel needs. Follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. And join the family at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. Subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. Would love to have you there. I'm posting a lot lately. It's just, you're going to get 99 cents worth of fun. That I can guarantee you. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey, it's Mom. All I can think about today is that it's Pearl's first day of preschool. I'm all choked up. Putting labels on all of Pearl's clothes and everything, I had to crack up because I did that on everything for you at school and camp, and I even put your name on your new school supplies. Every crayon. So if they threw them in the middle, I knew which ones yours were. All right, Amusapalooza, best name ever. It's also exciting. All right, back to the Magic Kingdom. I'm excited by the blue, gray, and gold colors of the castle. Magic Kingdom was that pretty pink, but I really liked it when the sun went down. It was really, really pretty. But I'm happy that it's going back. I loved the castle in Paris, Disney. And speaking of which, I had no idea you took French. Are you kidding me? That's awesome. But you didn't speak it when we were there. I have to quiz you later and see what you know. Great episode. Had so much fun. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. Talk soon. Bye.